You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome, everyone, to our Bleacher Report NCAA Digital March Madness Men's Basketball look at 10 teams that I've got that are on the rise. Now, there are plenty of others that I don't list, so there's plenty of other opportunities for schools to get on this list, but we are in the final week and a half of the regular season for all the power leagues. Some leagues are actually going to start their conference tournaments next week, a lot of those one-bid AQ leagues, but I want to look at some of these schools that I think are heading in the right direction. That as you get closer to Selection Sunday, you're going to look at your bracket, schools that are going to be trending in the right direction. They may not get their high seed watermark, if you will, but because they're going to be seeded more to their overall body of work, but they're going to be playing better, I think, than their actual seed come Selection Sunday. So let's look. We're going to go from 10 to 1, and we'll take some of your questions. All right, I'm going to start at number 10 with a team out of the Mountain West, Boise State. All right, Boise State has won 7 of its 8 last games. Last night they knocked off New Mexico at home. Max Rice had an outstanding game. That's Leon Rice's son. You see there, they went over New Mexico. They actually only lost to New Mexico, sort of the buzzer down at the pit. Did beat Texas A&M, which, by the way, is in second place in the SEC, so that win looks better and better. As you see, they're 12-3 in the Mountain West Conference, 22-6 overall. I think they're a team that is going to get into the tournament and is going to be a very tough out in that first round. So I got the Broncos at number 10. At number 9, USC. So USC had a little bit of a struggle in the middle of the season. They've won 2 in a row. Interesting last 4 games for the Trojans. At Colorado, at Utah, home Arizona State. Could they go 4-0, 3-1, 2-2? We'll see. But I think with Boogie Ellis, you see on your screen there, he's got 17 a game. They're a team that the combination of Ellis and Drew Peterson, they got scores. And, you know, Ellis can go for 30 on you. So I think the Trojans have sort of really been flying under the radar throughout the course of the season. Yet they're a team that, you know, are they going to be in the anywhere from 9-11 range, 8-11 range? But I could easily see them winning 2 games and getting to the Sweet 16. As you see their best wins, that Auburn win's looking better, that UCLA win at home, they won handily. And they actually almost came back and won at Pauley. So be interested to track them in these final 4 games where they finish. Number 8, Penn State. So this is going to be interesting because as I'm speaking to you, Penn State plays Ohio State tonight. Tricky game for them. It's on the road, but it's winnable because Ohio State's really struggling. So you got at Ohio State, home Rutgers, at Northwestern, home Maryland. Penn State has a chance to go 3-1 in those final 4. Maybe they can go 4-0. They got to win probably 3 more games for sure to get into the NCAA tournament. But I think they're trending in the right direction. Jalen Pickett is a stat stuffer. He's a really tough matchup. A couple years now at Penn State after transferring from Siena. He's really going to be if they get in the tournament. So of the 3 you see on your screen, USC, Boise State, to me, are locks. Penn State obviously needs to work to get in, but I really like this Penn State team if they get in. I think they definitely could be a team that you know, could win a couple games, no question. Now, what's really going to be important for Penn State is in the Big Ten tournament, you want to stay out of Wednesday night. Obviously, you want to get that, get at least the first bye. And on Thursday, you got to hope that you're playing another team that's potentially quad one or at the worst, quad two. And then win that game. And then on Friday, you're definitely getting a quad one, I would think. So now you win that. You get to the Saturday semifinals, they're in, momentum, boom. Kind of like Indiana last year. They had to win two games to get into the tournament. They ended up in the first four. And I think Penn State could be in the first four, win that game, win another game, kind of like Notre Dame last year did. All right. I'm going with a blue blood at number seven. Believe it or not, they kind of been, as I said, sort of lying low here, and that's Kentucky. All right, so Kentucky has won three in a row, 5 of 6. In these three in a row, they won at Mississippi State. They beat Tennessee at home to get the sweep of Tennessee, and they won at Florida last night. So, and that Michigan win was neutral, of course, in London. A&M, good win now. Look, they're playing well. The freshmen are playing better. The rotations are working better for Cal. Tshiebwe feels like he's not back to last year, but he's just a little more grounded now. You know, Kentucky's going to get a seed that matches their record. Okay. So that means they're going to be probably in the seven to nine range, not 10. Could they get as high as a 6? Probably not, but let's say they're a 7. They got talent to be a top 5. So it'll be interesting to see as a 7 how far they can go, but that's where they could end up. Number 6, VCU. Okay, so VCU is very much like Penn State, not a lock, but they're top the A-10. They've won 5 of 6. They are the best team in the Atlantic 10, and they've got the best player in Ace Baldwin. He can go for 30 on you. 3 in a row. Overall, they've won 5 of their last 6. The Pitt win looks really good. Kennesaw State right now is a team that's winning their conference. Vanderbilt, prior to last night's loss to LSU, had won 5 in a row. Okay, they don't have the quad one record. I get that. But they are a team that if they win the AQ out of the A-10, and unfortunately, the A-10 is only going to get one bid. Missed opportunities by a number of these schools have prevented the A-10 from, you know, from potentially getting multiple bids, which they had been used to. So let me pause here. In these back five, Kentucky, USC, Boise, I think are all in. Now you say, oh, Boise, how are they locked? I think last night's win over New Mexico to give them the sweep of the Lobos, they're right up there with San Diego State. I think Boise State's in. I know that sounds crazy. But I think, you know, look, they end the season. They got San Diego State and at Utah State. So they could lose both and play their way out. I get that. But I feel very comfortable Boise State's going to be in. USC is going to be in. I feel very comfortable about that as well. Even though, again, they were one of the last teams in. Kentucky for sure in. VCU's got to play their way in by winning A-10. Penn State needs a couple more wins. So now we'll go to the top five, where unequivocally these teams are in. No qualifiers, okay? At number 5, UConn. It's interesting to say UConn on the rise. They were once number 2 in the country. They've won 5 of their last 6. What we saw last night in their win over Providence is they've got a second gear. I mean, they just applied the gas and they just ran away from Providence in the second half. What we saw last night in the second half against Providence was the UConn team that we saw more at the beginning of the season. They're going to finish out of the top 4 in the Big East, but there's a good chance they're going to be seated higher than every other Big East team except for Marquette, which I think will ultimately be the Big East champ. A lot of that has to do with the quad one wins at 6. I mean, I think UConn could win the Big East tournament in New York. If you were to put stock on 2 Big East teams right now, I would go Marquette and I would go UConn. No question. Those would be the 2 I would push the chips in terms of the 2 teams I would buy the most stock in. All right, number 4, another blue blood, team on the rise, Duke. Seems weird to say Duke on the rise, but the deal is they had a lot of questionable losses during the season, tons of injuries. Jeremy Roach, Derek Whitehead, you know, these guys missed a lot of games. They were never fully healthy. They got robbed in that Virginia game of that foul on Filipowski. So they've won three in a row. I think in their final three games, they're going to either go 2-1 or 3-0. The only one potential loss is at Carolina in their final three. So they're going to go in with a ton of momentum into the ACC tournament in Greensboro, where historically Duke's had a lot of success in that tournament in Greensboro and the tournament in general. As you see there, they've won six of their last eight. Beating Xavier, that was in Portland, great win. Carolina at home. Miami, they split with the Canes, got blown out in Miami. But since that game, actually, since the Miami loss, they've played pretty well. So I feel very confident that Duke, again, Duke's going to get a seed, not to their talent, but to their record. And I don't think teams are going to want to see Duke in that first round, but they're going to get a good team in that first round. All right, number three, Creighton. Creighton, again, another team that was predicted to win the Big East. Played well in the Maui Invitational, lost to Arizona, and then went on the slide, in large part because Ryan Kalkbrenner, their big, was hurt. So that's when they went. I said they lost a lot of close games as well, BYU and Vegas, I think that game was. They won 9 of their last 11, 6 of 8. You see Kalkbrenner there. Providence wins, Xavier, UConn. Four quad one wins. They just lost to Marquette at home in a game that was right toward the end. But I like Creighton. I think they're going to be a team that is going to probably be on the five line and is going to be very difficult to punch out in the NCAA tournament. Number two, Baylor. Baylor has lost two in a row, but it's two in a row at Kansas, at Kansas State. I am not worried at all about Baylor Bears. In their final three games, they're going to either go 2-1 or 3-0. Mark that down. So they're going to have momentum going to the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Love their backcourt. Flagler, George, Cryer. Their front court's not as good as it's been. Their defense is not as solid as it has been. But their guards are going to cause a lot of problems for teams in the NCAA tournament. Again, Baylor's a team that, they have not been talked about as much this season. Could easily see them in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. Number one on my team to watch, on the rise, gets no love any year, Miami. Miami has won seven in a row. We know about Najee Peck and Isaiah Wong. Remember the name Jordan Miller. Miller's had an outstanding season, second leading scorer. He doesn't get talked about a lot. They are playing as well as they were a year ago when they got to the Elite Eight. I think they're the best team in the ACC. I think they'll win the ACC tournament. I think they're probably going to win the ACC regular season. As you see there, Virginia, Clemson, Duke are their best wins. Quad one wins seven. They're just trending in the right direction. Miami was on the five line for the selection committee in their top 16 reveal. I think ultimately they will be on the four line. And they've got the goods to match what they did a year ago and get to the Elite Eight. And who knows, you're in that, you're one game away. You get to the Final Four. All right, so let's go to some questions. All right. PC Principal, Kentucky, as an 8-9, could easily beat the one seed, especially if that Purdue is the one. Correct. Baylor can't play defense. Well, their defense is not as good as it's been, but I'll tell you, Thomas, they certainly, and here's the thing. Let me answer this one as well from S. Lato. How can Baylor be on the rise when they lose two straight? Because they lose two straight in the best league in the country at Kansas, K-State. I'm not worried about that. If they lose two straight in the best league in the country at the bottom of the league, if it was Texas Tech, West Virginia, still good teams, but or Oklahoma. But they lose to K-State and Kansas, two of the hardest places in the country this season to win. All right? So I'm not worried about that. All right. someone doesn't agree with my VCU. Duke barely beat Notre Dame. Again, this team's finally playing well together. Creighton, they think, is overrated. Okay, Bridget says, what about Villanova? That's a good call. But Villanova needs to win the Big East tournament to get in. Villanova beat Xavier on the road and is going to be tough to beat in the Big East tournament. But they got to win the Big East tournament. Okay, Benjamin talks about Michigan. I thought about Michigan. First of all, they're not getting to a 6 seed. If they get in, they're going to be in the 10, 11, 12 range. They got to beat Rutgers tonight. If they beat Rutgers tonight and we do this next week, I'd put them in. I will, but Marshall being in the tournament. Look, I predicted Marshall would be in the tournament, so I agree with you. What about Missouri? I think they're just an NC State, back-to-back questions. I think they're both going to be in the tournament. I got to pick some teams here, obviously. Maryland is a 9. I think Maryland's going to get higher than that. I think Maryland's going to be in the 6, 7, 8 range. 8 is a met. K-State ceiling, I think, is a 4. Badgers' chances of, you know, of getting there, says Zach Reeder. I would tell you that the win last night probably put them back in the first 4. So now you just got to keep winning. They're going to be hovering. I was convinced at the beginning of the season, Benjamin, that there were going to be 1 to 2 teams from the Big Ten in the first 4. I think there's actually going to be 2. There were 2 last year, Rutgers and Indiana. So Wisconsin, good chance they're going to be there. So Siler and Kane since 82 say Miami is white hot. Miami's a Final Four team. Maddie claims that Miami's overrated. Texas A&M. You know, it's interesting. I thought a lot about Texas A&M. But believe it or not, I feel like Texas A&M has arrived. Texas A&M was my team of the week. And I looked at Texas A&M. And I'm going to give you, Jackie V, how about Texas A&M? So you can disagree with my rationale, but actually I think you'd appreciate this. To me, I didn't want to pick a team that I think is already here, okay? And their win over Tennessee, they're 1 game back of the SEC title with Alabama. And I actually kind of felt like A&M, they're here. They're in. I'm not worried about A&M. They've already risen. They're already up here. So, you know, could I put them on there? But most of these teams, you know, are trending in the right direction. Miami was not, you know, a week or two ago. They've been climbing steadily. A&M's actually hovered in the top 2 to 3 in the last couple of weeks. They've been right there. So, you can disagree with my rationale there, but I did really think about within this grouping, did I want to put A&M? Because I already feel like, hey, they're there. So sort of backhand a compliment if you can't see that. All right. Arkansas is a team on the rise. Big game coming up at the end of the season against Kentucky. I want to see how they play on that one or how things go in that. But he's done a good job with all the injuries that Musselman's had. So Austin Samuels, any chance the Pac-12 gets more than 3 in the tournament? Well, the obvious answer is if someone else wins the Pac-12 tournament, like Oregon State did a couple years ago. And look, Utah, you know, they could do it. Arizona State could. Oregon, if they ever got their act together, could. But I'm not as confident right now. I used to be obviously in ASU and Utah, and I'm not anymore. So I would say more often than not, we're looking at, you know, 3. Smoke 39, but Washington State. Yeah, Washington State's playing really well, really well. And they're down in the desert this weekend. If they can pull off a split, they'll keep that momentum going. They could be in Oregon State. Washington State's better than that Oregon State team, by the way, in the bubble year that won the Pac-12 tournament. So I would not be shocked. Yeah, Alabama barely beat A&M. You know, you got to believe that they were sideways as a team last night, but G.G. Jackson played well for Carolina. They couldn't get it done in overtime. I think it was overtime. trying to remember. Texas Tech, What do they have to do to get in? Just keep winning. They've made this late surge. Just got to keep winning to make a run to get in. So estimated profit wants to know if I would turn a, if I would turn around and whip up a souffle when he's done. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I want to make sure I had good Wi-Fi. So I'm here in this corporate type apartment place in Chicago that has a nice kitchen. But I don't cook as much here, so just very barely. But anyway, early sleeper upset picks in the tourney. Okay, do you mean teams will get upset or be the team that comes up with the upset? I would say this. Hofstra and or Charleston, whoever gets in from the Colonial, look at them. They're going to probably be a 13. Could be a real trendy pick to get an upset. Florida Atlantic, obviously, could be a good 12-5 upset. Utah Valley, out of the WAC. I like Utah Valley. Mark Madsen, former Stanford Laker player, Stanford player. They could be a team that could pull off an upset. We mentioned Marshall. I would look to them as a team that could potentially pull an upset. Anyone out of the Mountain West that gets out of there and gets in the tournament, certainly. VCU, which will be a double-digit seed, could pull off an upset. So I would definitely look at those collection of teams. Oh, give you one more. Drake. If Drake wins, or Bradley, either one of those schools that wins the Valley definitely could pull off an upset. You know, in the West Coast Conference, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, they're going to have like single-digit seeds, so they wouldn't be in there. KS Spike says Michigan State. Yeah, I mean, they certainly could pull an upset. I mean, we'll see. Maddie says Mount West is better conference than the ACC. Not close. I would say the Mountain West, ACC has some bad teams at the bottom, no question. The Mountain West, top of the ACC, I still am going to like better. But Mountain West is really good. Jack Molly says, is Houston better than last year? I think they're better defensively, but I don't know if they're better. I don't think I'd say that. Or when they got to the Final Four in 21, I mean, that was a really good defensive team. Where does Miami end up if they win out? I think four. Will Arizona State make the tourney? I think they got to go 3-1 in these Final Four. Or no, they have three left, right? They have three left, I think. 2-1, and I think they got to get to the final, the AC, the Pac-12 tournament. Let's take, right, I agree with Merritt Bradley. Brian Wardle always gets his team playing really well at the end. Can the Hokies save their season? And they got to win the ACC tournament. They've done it before. They just lost to Miami at home. I agree with Penn State. I said it. So at Ohio State tonight, winnable game. Home Rutgers, winnable game. At Northwestern, 50-50 game, but could win it. Home Maryland. Yeah, I could see them going 3-1. They go 3-1, I think they're going to be in. Let's take two more. Jay from VCU says, does the A-10 get two teams in? Unfortunately, no. They didn't do enough in the non-conference. I think it's just going to be the winner. And I say I hope it's VCU because I think VCU can get to the Sweet 16. So I think they're the best team to get in. Yeah, the slow start to Houston has been a problem. I agree with that. All right, let's take one more in our chat here. Let's see here. I'm just trying to take one more. You know, can the Valley get two? Unfortunately, no. It's had multiple bids. But I think Bradley Drake are playing at the end of the regular season. It's a winner-take-all game. And then the Arch Madness is going to be completely balanced. And there's no question it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. All right. Hey, love doing stuff like this. This is great. You know, if we got good chefs, good cooks, come back over here, make me up something. That'd be great. Anyway, appreciate all your time, your engagement. Check out all our social media stuff. You can follow me, as you see on the screen, at The Andy Katz on Twitter, at The Real Andy Katz on Instagram. And follow us at Bleacher Report, NCAA Digital, March Madness, Men's Basketball. It is almost March, believe it or not. February 23rd as we're doing this. Next week, March 1st. And then we're off and running all the way to Houston and the Final Four. Thanks for your time, everyone. Have a safe day, rest of the week. And we'll talk soon. Appreciate it.